Welcome to What's Poppin'. This week, my guest is Lanny Hood. Lanny, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
As always, Lanny, the first thing I ask most people is, how long have you lived in the area?
Be 72 years in March.
72 years in March. And has it always been like right in Fremont, or have you moved around the Bay Area?
It has been entirely in what we call Washington Township. I've lived in Centerville,
yeah,
Newark, then it became Fremont, then lived back in Fremont, lived in Irvington, lived in Warm Springs. Now I'm back in Cabrillo, which is Centerville.
So that's pretty much these 4 square miles.
I'd say.
Yeah. So it's a long time, a lot of history here. A lot of things have changed. What's the biggest change you think has happened to the area in the last 72 years?
It's the population, not only growing, mm-hmm. but the diversity of it.
Yeah, imagine it wasn't much more than European 72 years ago.
European and Hispanic.
Hispanic. Yeah. Interesting. So 72 years you've been in the area. How did you get to Prince of Peace?
My parents. They were part of the first 6 families,
okay,
that helped organize Prince of Peace. They got it started from the beginning. They were, like Pastor Zell says, the first small group.
Okay, so your parents are part of basically the first small group,
yeah,
that so instrumental in Prince of Peace coming together.
Yes.
Were they part of the whole becoming a constituted church and all of that process?
Yep, their signatures are on the original documents.
The original documents.
Yeah.
Were you born already or long before you were born?
No, it happened after I was born. I was about 3 years old.
Okay. And so about 3 years old. So all you know is Prince of Peace.
Yes.
Except for 3 years, which you don't remember.
Right.
Right.
Well, that was at Calvary Lutheran in San Lorenzo.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So Calvary Lutheran in San Lorenzo. And so then you guys lived a little too far away from there. So let's start a Lutheran church in the Fremont area.
Right.
It makes a ton of sense. You were also part of an experimental thing at Prince of Peace that started just a few years after it began. What experimental part of Prince of Peace was that?
I was in the first grade class with one teacher and 4 grades.
And then you went all the way through 8th grade, correct?
Actually, I graduated 8th grade, but unfortunately, due to financial difficulties, there were no sponsorships back then or things like that.
Yeah.
6th and 7th grade, I did not attend here.
6th and 7th, because you couldn't afford to come here. Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate, but you did graduate 8th grade here.
Yes, so. I graduated. I got the diploma.
Yeah. Nice. Where'd you go to high school then?
I went to Newark High School.
That brings us up to when you probably start getting into the workforce. What was your favorite working experience or job?
Well, I've had a varied series of different types of jobs.
Yeah.
And there were good and bad in all of them. To pick one out of all the rest, possibly just the last one I had.
Okay.
I was driving a 24-foot box truck for Paul Hodnett's company.
Yeah.
And delivering wine barrels and wine bottles and miscellaneous other freight.
Yeah.
Between the Mexican border and the Canadian border.
Just the West Coast, back and forth.
West Coast, yeah.
Nice, nice. And how long were you doing that?
11 years.
11 years. See, now I thought perhaps you'd bring in the Boy Scouts and your work with them.
Oh, I was thinking employment, not work. Yes, the Boy Scouts was...
Because that was work.
When you got into a leadership position a little bit, yeah, it also was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of experiences, made some great friends.
Yeah.
Basically from 8 years old until about 34, was very active.
And you were in charge of kind of all the troops in the area for a while, right?
Well, it was under the Order of the Arrow, which is an honor camping society in Boy Scouting. And I was the village chief. There were 9 districts in San Francisco Bay Area Council.
Okay.
And Mission Peak District was Fremont, Newark, Union City, South Hayward.
Okay.
And I was what they called the village chief. I was the leader, the boy leader.
The leader.
Basically, I was in charge.
Okay.
And you know, when you're 16 and a half, 17 years old, that's a lot of power.
That's a lot of power.
And you can let it go to your head sometimes. And fortunately, the adults who couldn't order me what to do or tell me what to do were very good at counseling me and sometimes walking up with a pin and going pop and burst the bubble and get me back down to reality. But it was enjoyable. Got to do all the things. I could be busy every weekend. doing something with scouting.
Yeah.
I was doing fine with that until I started dating this young girl, and she plotted with my mother to get me to come here a couple Sundays a month, so I wasn't going every Sunday.
Yeah, because you couldn't be worshiping if you were out camping.
Well, Sunday mornings you get up and spend a little bit of time alone with the Lord, but yeah. It's not the same.
Yeah. So speaking of worship, and we talked about this just briefly before we start the podcast, this past Sunday's message, classic, you know, message you hear on a Sunday morning, because it's a parable that Jesus gives us about the parable of the sower and the seeds. And it's one he actually explains, knowing that it's a very familiar story for you. Are there two things that jumped out at you as interesting or made you think a little more or were good from this past Sunday's message?
Yeah, and it comes back to the Boy Scouting thing of as he throws and scatters a seed, it can get among the thorns and get choked out. And that could have possibly been happening sometimes with me in scouting, getting away from the Lord. Because even though I was a Boy Scout, I wasn't sometimes not a good scout.
Okay, yeah.
There are a lot of things I look back at my scouting career and go, yeah, it wasn't a good decision.
Yeah.
You know, you could have just said no.
Mm.
And so that one, and then also where it just falls on good soil and it grows. And I see that in myself sometimes and in a lot of people here at church and people I know who are faithful, that you can just see it continue to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
And it really reinforces that parable.
One thing that Pastor Zell touched on that I was making connections on as he was preaching on Sunday, because we had the baptism too at 11 o'clock, is the idea of nurturing. Baptism, you know, it's God making promises to us and calling us into his family, but it needs to be nurtured. And no one plants a plant that they want to live and grow and just kind of walks away from it and says, okay, now you're on your own, right?
No,
and so there's nurturing of that. And so it's the same thing with our faith. The people who nurture their faith and are nurtured by others in their faith, that's when that good soil really takes root and can grow quite a bit.
Yeah. I saw that one Sunday morning a number of years ago. The associate pastor here at the time had the children come down. And my oldest granddaughter came down and sat with Jenny's oldest daughter. And he was talking about, you know, that we're going to talk about Jesus. And my granddaughter goes, Jesus is in my heart. And he looked down at her and looked back at the congregation and said, well, I'm done. Yeah. And I saw that seed planted right there.
Yeah.
And now to see her, what, 9 years later, eight years later, and that seed is still there and it's growing. It's a plant now.
Because it's been nurtured.
It's been nurtured.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of what question would I ask Lanny that I don't know yet about him? That's a good personality question, right? And so if you could travel anywhere, where would it be and how long would you stay? Now, money is not a problem. You have all the money you need to do it. You have all time in the world to do it. You have all the people there with you that you want to go with you. So where would you go and how long would you stay?
Well, it comes down to two places. The United Kingdom for two reasons. The English breakfast and fish and chips. it's two great meals and you get them anywhere. And if you haven't had an English breakfast, look it up. This is breakfast that will keep you going till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's got potatoes. It's got sausage. It has.
It's got like their bacon, which looks a lot like Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
It has eggs sunny side up and with the brightest yolks you've ever seen in your life. There's also toast.
Oh, yeah, toast.
And then sometimes there's blood sausage, but that sort of falls off my plate. There's pork, there's beans, sort of like pork and
beans. That's a big
beans
part of it.
Yeah,
right.
And
beans,
it's a tremendous breakfast, and it's not a small plate.
Yeah.
You know, if you leave that meal hungry, it's your own fault. There's no reason to it. Same with the fish and chips. It's these huge pieces of cod, chips, of course, which we call French fries. And you have to be careful in pubs because they serve it with peas.
Oh, really?
Large quantities of peas.
Yeah.
And they can be hard as a rock.
I wouldn't go for that
myself. Yeah. And so you sort of keep those to the side. Take a bite or two. You don't want to offend the bartender. That way you get a better pour. But it's just...
Got a science worked out here.
Yeah. And...
All right. So United Kingdom, because of the food, I got to tell you, you're probably the first person ever to go. I'd go to the United Kingdom because of the food, because most people aren't crazy about... British food.
Well, actually, the Brits have come up and gotten really smart. They brought in French chefs. And so now the food is very good. And Italians, we ate some pizza in Battersea, which is just north of London.
Yeah.
And some of the best pizza I've ever had was a brick fired oven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it was just, it was tremendous pizza. We went back a second time to have it a second while we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, the food has definitely improved. It's not the bland British food of the 1950s.
People have heard so much about.
Yeah, they have found salt and pepper, and so now there's flavor. The other place that I've fallen in love with, I've only been there twice, but I would move there in a heartbeat if money was not an object, and they would sell me one of the rooms to live in.
So you would go and stay?
In the UK, travel around. There's Wales, where daughter and son-in-law are.
Okay.
There's Scotland, which is my family home.
Okay.
And then there's England, and there's just so much to see. It's a beautiful country.
I could see you in a kilt.
I have one.
Yeah, that just seems like that would
I threatened
be natural.
I also have bagpipes that I've threatened to learn how to play so I can be with a praise band, but they have not called me to ask to do that yet.
Yeah, don't wait by the phone.
I'm not waiting for that phone call at all. But the second place I would go, and that is Israel.
Israel,
and one particular spot, and that's at the kibbutz at En Gedi.
Okay.
Because you're looking across the Sea of Galilee towards the town of Tiberias. You see that at night, and it's lit up. And you've got the wind coming off of the Med, which forces it to have some waves lapping against the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Okay. The food is fantastic. My blood sugar, I'm a diabetic, and the blood sugar is always low.
Yeah, it's not
the food, there's not a lot of carbs.
It's not carb heavy,
A lot of fruit, a lot of good meat, quality meat. And it'd be tough to get some pulled pork, though. That'd be the only drawback.
It's kind of important in our lifestyle.
But if they would let me get one of those rooms, I would live there and put my chair down the edge of the shore every day and just go down there and sit and relax. And
nice.
I've never felt more at peace in any particular place than right there.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And so how long would you stay in the UK if you could stay in the UK?
I would avoid winter.
You know,
it gets cold in the UK and gets wet, but I don't know, split them half-half.
Half-half?
Yeah.
Nice.
Winter in Israel and summer in Wales or something.
Wales somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lanny, I didn't know if that question was going to work out, but I learned a lot about you there. So thank you for the great answer, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Oh, no, thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.